This is a recording of the Alternative Speaker Meeting with Manuel C. from Stockton, California, taped at the first California Mid-State Regional Convention for NA in Fresno, California on Saturday, June 30th, 1990. In observance with the 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
I don't think I messed this one up, but I'd like to introduce our speaker, Manuel C. from Stockton.
Thank you. I'm Manuel, a recovering addict. When I was asked to come up here, I wasn't hesitant about saying yes that I would. And I'd like to share a little bit of why. You know, I'm at the point of my recovery right now where when I get on my knees today, you know, I'm so grateful. And, you know, I just can't believe I'm part of Narcotics Anonymous and that it's working in my life. And when I get on my knees, I ask God to give me some kind of sign of what else I can do in my recovery, and especially to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And we come in here and we quit using drugs, and then we got a whole lot to deal with. You know, when I got here with a lot of bad information. You know, I was raised by my mother. You know, there was no father figure around, and I really don't believe that it would have made any difference. I really believe I still would have got the same information that I got when I got here. And you know, just going back, you know, thinking at the age of three, watching my father being carried away in a straitjacket, you know, is probably one of the most drastic things that could happen to a child and doesn't understand what's going on in their life. That here my mother was telling me that my father is a good man, no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, no matter what happens in the house, that my father is a real good man. You know, and I believe it. I really believe it, no matter what. You know, and I could remember two incidences that my father was real close, you know, and I felt him, you know, that gut level feeling that we get after we get clean, and I felt it, you know. Once I felt him to a cesspool, and I remember him pulling me out, you know, and holding me, you know, and it was a great feeling. It was a real great feeling. And I can remember another time sitting on his lap, you know, and he was peeling oranges, you know, and he was passing them out to the kids. You know, I have three brothers and a sister. And I can remember that, and that felt good. You know, that really felt good. And I felt the love, you know. I felt that, you know, that I belonged. You know, I felt a lot of good feelings, you know, as a child, you know, a happy child that, you know, that we all want to be. I felt that. And it all got destroyed. You know, just one day, you know, it's all gone. You know, and from there, you know, I started forming a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and, you know, triggered off a lot of reactions, negative reactions. And in order for me to, you know, to have any relationship with anybody, let alone have a relationship with myself, you know, I had to get those emotions, you know, unscrambled and figure out what was really going on in my life. And it just so happened that you know, I had to go through my childhood and seeking that feeling of really belonging and really, really being loved. And you know, I seeked it out with you know, with my family, and I just couldn't find it any longer. You know, it just wasn't there. My relationship with my family was, you know, it was nil, you know. Like, I would go hang out in the trees. You know, anytime that my mother wanted me, she knew she would find me out in the tree somewhere. You know, she would find me up in the garage. You know, and that's where it was. And started going to grammar school the same day. You know, I can remember the first day I went to school. It was really funny because at that point in my life, you know, I didn't speak English. You know, I was, you know, I was raised by, you know, my mother always spoke, and our home was Spanish, and that was it. So I went to school, and I didn't understand what was going on. And anyway, the bell rang, I went home. And everybody else went to recess. And next thing I know, somebody's knocking on my door, you know, why is it Manuel in school? And I'm trying to explain this, you know, I thought it was time to go home. And just little things I kept going on because I didn't know what was going on in my relationship with at that time. You know, it was, you know, I always people looking down on me, you know. And that went on for a long time. So the people that I seek were people that were just like me. They were, you know, they were going through the same hurt that I was going through. You know, that pain, you know, of not understanding what was going on, you know, the confusion. You know, so I hooked up with these people. And during my childhood, you know, I was able to maintain, you know, some of the information that my mother had given me, you know, about, you know, being respectful to other people, you know, don't steal, don't lie, you know, and all the things that, you know, that these parents try to instill in you. You know, that was my relationship with my mom at that time, you know, and I loved her for that because, you know, looking up to her, you know, a little old lady about so tall and being able to raise 5 kids on her own, you know, was really tremendous. You know, and I looked up to her. But then it just got to the point where, you know, you go through that period of peer pressure. And I got to that point where, for once in my life, you know, I took that risk. I took the risk, you know, because of the companionship that I had at that time. You know, I was seeking this negative attention, and I got it. You know, that was the relationship that I had with, you know, with the people that I ran with. And, you know, and I really believe this is where my life really took a turn. And anyway, it just so happened that, you know, I lied, you know, I got over, you know, that big thrill of really doing something and getting away with it. And I ran with it from there on. See, and then that was a relationship that I had with my mom and my brothers and my little sister. And then it got to the point where the pain got too great. The pain got too great, and I started using, and it just went on that way for a long time, trying to kill that pain of why I did the things that I did, and I couldn't stop doing it any longer. And the relationship that I had with my friends, you know, was all about, you know how we do, man. You know, we try to get over on each other. You know, that's the first thing we do. We wake up in the morning, we want to get over on each other. You know, we're friends, we call ourselves buddies, you know, we hug each other. And all this, and you know, that's the relationship that we have. And you know, this went on. It went on for a while. And I got real close to, you know, to a lot of people. And then after a while, you know, it seemed like all these people were just moving on. They were moving on. They were making a life for themselves. You know, but all this time, you know, I was picking up all the wrong information, not only from them, you know, also from my older brothers, you know, because I'm the youngest of the sons. And you know, being raised in the culture that I was raised in, and it was all about, I learned not only from, you know, from my brothers and my uncles and my cousins. I also learned, you know, from my mother and my aunts and my cousins that they had their place and I had my place. You know, and I really believed it. And it went on, you know, and somehow my relationship with my teachers in school again wasn't so good, you know. It's how I got through school, I don't know. You know, all I can tell you is that 1967, June 1967 came along and I qualified to get a diploma. And it just so happened that I chose to go to work rather than pick up my diploma. And 5 years later, they called me and asked me if I had a diploma coming, come and get it, you know. So anyway, that happened, you know. But the relationship that I had, you know, with these teachers, you know, through junior high, through senior high, it was all about, you know, come here, we need to check your pockets, we need to take your weapons, you know, we need to take your cigarettes, you know, whatever, you know. That's just the way it was, my relationship with people, period. You know, it was, I was very rebellious. You know, this is the kind of information that I got that I really believed was the way I was supposed to be living my life. And it just so happened that, like I said, you know, all my friends, you know, they either went into service, some died, some got married, and straightened their lives out. So I seeked out other people, you know, to get that same negative attention again, you know. That's the kind of relationship that I could really deal with. You know how we do out there. And I was comfortable with it. And it went on for another 10 years. And April of 1977 is when I came into these doors with all that information. These people wanted to help me. I mean, they, you know, they loved me, and they told me that they loved me. And I didn't understand it. I said, man, you know, these people, they don't know who I am. They don't know what I'm all about. You know, how can they stand there and tell me that they love me, that they care about me, they want to help me straighten my life out? You know, that once I get rid of the drugs, then I got a chance. You know, and then that's when I really started understanding that I had, in order for me to survive, I did have to develop a different relationship that I had, not only with my higher power, with me, and with the people that I was around, you know, people that I was going to be around with. And it was very difficult. You know, I was one of these fortunate ones that went through a treatment center. You know, it's not a requirement. You know, for those of you that are in here that think that you have to go through a treatment center to get cleaned up, you don't have to. You really don't have to. It was just necessary for me. I had to get away from myself. You know, I had to become teachable and allow somebody, you know, to touch me, to help me. And I went to this treatment center, and it was very difficult again. I come to find out that I had no business getting a diploma, but I didn't know how to read. They would tell me, well, go to your room, you know, take this book, go to your room and read. You know, and we have our little sessions, and we're going to talk about what you read about. And I was so embarrassed, I couldn't tell them, hey, I don't know how to read. So I faked it. You know, I faked it long enough where, you know, it came up on 3 weeks, and I was eligible to go out on an LOA for 48 hours. And I faked it to the point where I got out there, standing out on a corner. I got off the bus, standing in the corner, and the first thing that came to my mind was, let's go get loaded. That's the first thing that came to my mind. So I got back on the bus. I went back to the treatment center. And that's when I really started getting honest. You know, I developed a relationship with some beautiful people that had come into my life a year prior to me entering that treatment center. See, it didn't just happen. You know, God planned it. You know, God had put these people into my life, you know, a year prior to me, you know, April 1976 is when I met these beautiful people. That's when I really walked into these rooms, you know, loaded, not caring, not feeling that I belonged here, you know, and, you know, thinking that you people were a bunch of liars. You know, that you guys went and got loaded after you left. I did. You know. So, if I did it, then you did it. That's just exactly what I believed. Anyway, I went back to this treatment center, and I told these people, you know, I got no business out there in the streets. You know, I need you. And that's when I started developing a relationship with these people. And listening to them and believing that what they were doing was going to work in my life, you know, if I wanted to do the footwork. You know, and, you know, the thing about it is, you know, they called on me to do this and to do that, and let's go over to the hospital and talk to these people in the emergency room, you know, and just tell them, you know, what you're doing in your life, you know. And I didn't understand what these people were trying to do, you know. They were trying to get me out of myself, to quit being so self-centered, you know. To let, you know, just to let myself know that I was worth something, you know, that I could help another person. You know, my self-esteem was so low that, you know, I really didn't believe it. I really didn't. And then to top it off, you know, one of the counselors went out there and took me up to one of the wards where they had these people strapped on in the strings, spitting their livers out, and he told me, go in there and talk to them. And I really thought, this guy's really pushing it, and I don't know what he's trying to do. He's really pushing it. But I went in there and did it anyway. I went in there and I talked to these people. You know, I love that man today. You know, for asking me to go in there and talk to these people. You know, I developed a lot of beautiful relationships with these people today. And they love me today. You know, they're still around today. You know, and then, and we stay clean for a little while, and you know, like has been shared in this convention, our body parts start working, and we gotta take care of our needs, and then the ladies start looking real good, and that's just the way it is. You know, at that time, you know, there just wasn't very many women around, you know. In the meetings that I went to, there was only one NA meeting at a time. And the women that were there, they were with their husbands, or two couples, and then one other lady that used to come around. And that's all there was at that time. But it just so happened that I was so into not wanting to use that I would go to this recovery center every day. People thought I worked there, you know. I was there every day, you know. I had to be around people that were in recovery. I had to be at that point. So it just so happened that, you know, my eyes, you know, I looked across the room and there she was. There she was. I couldn't believe it. I thought, man, you know, how could this really happen? You know, because prior to going to this treatment center, I already had a relationship for 7 years, a very sick relationship, you know, with the mother of my, I have a 20-year-old right now. And for 7 years, you know, of, you know, using her and abusing her, and, you know, how we do out there, you know, you be there when I need you, and, you know, don't worry about what I do. You know, just be glad, you know, that I go to work every day and, you know, give you the money if you need the money. And if I have it, I'll give it to you. If I don't worry about it. So that was my attitude, see? So that was some of the bad information that I got. That's the way I should talk to her. That's the way I should treat her. But she needed to be there for me, you know. I was the one that was working. She should be taking care of me no matter what. You know, she had no business questioning what I do. And it just got to the point where, you know, I was so wrapped up in my disease that, you know, one promise after another, and the same thing with my little boy at that time. See, he was 7 years old when I cleaned up, and I had a real bad relationship with him. I wanted him to be just like me, and today he is. Today he's just the person that I wanted him to be. He's just like me when I came in these doors. With the bad information, thinking that he should be doing the things that I did, and he's doing them today, you know. But I still love him. Yeah, I don't love him for, you know, for what he does or for what he doesn't do. You know, I love him, you know, because he's my son. You know, he's, I guess you can say, a potential addict. You know, I used to hear that a lot when I used to talk to people that had kids, and they used to tell me, well, you know, my kids are potential addicts, but I didn't understand it. You know, but you know, I see some of the things that he does. He's doing the things that I used to do. And my relationship with him is, you know, it's shaky. You know, but he calls me, telling me that, you know, he loves me. He called me on Father's Day and told me what he wants to do with his life. And I can remember that. I can remember having these big dreams and saying, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, and, you know, they never came true. I was too wrapped up in my disease. Anyway, it just so happened that, I cleaned up, you know, and expecting that lady to be there for me, and she's going to take me back, open arms, and say, yeah, you know, our life is going to be all right. It just so happened that it was just the opposite. She said, I'm tired of your lies, all your promises that you've always made to me, you're always broke. So she got out of my life, and she went, packed up, and moved to Sonora. You know, that's where she still lives at today. But the thing about it today, you know, she's my friend today. You know, that's the relationship that I was able to develop with her. You know, through this program, it allowed me, you know, to make those amends and to become a friend with her. And things are working out in our life today. You know. That 20-year-old today, like I said, you know, our relationship is still shaking. But hopefully it's going to get better. You know, I know that he knows about this program because he was like my little boy right there. And I brought him to meetings. And I could remember him telling my friends, I don't drink. I quit drinking like my daddy quit drinking. See, because I used to take him everywhere with me. take them to bars, take them to the connections house, take them out to the parks, to the handball courts, parking lots, liquor stores, all the different places to hang out at. I took him with me. And that's why I say he became the man that I wanted to become. But, you know, getting into this program and finding that, you know, finally, you know, there she is. And with all this information that I had to deal with and try to make a relationship work, you can just imagine what we go through. Some of you in here are going to go through the same thing. See, and that's the thing about it, you know. I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, that I'm a marriage counselor or that anything that I say is going to straighten your life out, because it's not. You know, it's up to you. It's how much pain you want to go through in your relationship. You know, I don't know how long you want to hang on to that bad information. You know, and treat your relationship as somebody told you that didn't, you know, that had some bad information. As long as you want to hang on to it, with them, you know, you're gonna go through that pain. You know, and I went through it for a few years. Anyway, this lady was in the same treatment center that I went through. You know, and I met her in November of 77. She got out, and I called her up, take her to meetings, and you know, do the things that we do. You know, really gonna fix her. You know, and we're gonna live our life. You know, and everything's gonna be real good. It just so happened that she wasn't ready to clean up. And a lot of people that loved me told me, you know, you gotta cut her loose. You gotta cut her loose. You know, she's bad news. You're gonna get loaded. You know, and this was told to me time and time again, you know, like we would go out to coffee, we would go out bowling, and, you know, I'd drag her along with me. And after a while, people started getting tired of this. They said, hey, you know, quit bringing her around. You know, we don't want her around. And then that's when I started talking to people and saying, hey, you know, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, you're telling me that the suffering addict is the most important person, you know, so, you know, when does this come, you know, come into play, you know, this lady's hurting here, you know, and, anyway, I went on and on, and, you know, she went back into a treatment center, same one, and, you know, she got to hold on to this recovery, and she got, you know, she hung on to it, and, you know, and, you know, we started living a beautiful life together. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm married to that woman today. You know, we've been together for going on 13 years. You know, we had our ups and downs. You know, we'll probably continue to do that for a long time. You know, but I want to share some of the things that I had to do. You know, not what she had to do. You know, it was like, for one thing, you know, with all that bad information that I had fed into my little boy's mind was like, you know, I came into these rooms with a sick understanding of what my relationship with society is supposed to be. You know, like if you weren't Mexican, I didn't want anything to do with you. Bottom line. You know, that's just the way it was. And then when I came in here, you know, my son still had that information in his mind. And he couldn't understand it. Because then, you know, I was allowed to have him on holidays, you know, during the summer. So, you know, he comes and stays with me during the summer, and then he finds his lady living with me, and he doesn't understand it. You know, and, you know, he's just like me. You know, he doesn't talk. He doesn't ask questions. He just goes ahead and just takes it all in and stuffs it. So anyway, he goes back to Sonora, and, you know, within a couple of hours, I get a phone call. You know, Manuel just told me something, you know. And it's like, what's that, you know? Well, he said that you're living with a woman and she's a Noki. I thought, well, yeah, you know, it's something that I taught him, you know. You know, she's a beautiful woman, you know, I care for her, you know. I can actually say that I love her and, you know, and I intend to, you know, to be with her for a while, you know. And, you know, so we talked about some of these things, you know, that, Manuel has to work on, you know. You know, his little mind is just the way mine is. And he has to work with it, he has to accept it. And he went up to Sonora, and he had to deal with some of the things that I was dealing with down here. See, because he went up there, and the kids that were in school that he went to, you know, were different. So he had to change his, you know, his little mind, you know, his ways of thinking, and really finding out that some of the information that I gave him was wrong. But it seemed to me that you know, he developed a relationship with people up there, real close friends, you know, and I got to meet a lot of them, you know, and I can actually say that they're beautiful people, you know, that God brought into his life. But anyway, you know, I made a decision that this relationship is going to work no matter what. That I made a commitment, and the only way that this relationship would end is if, you know, she wanted to get out of my life, and I would have to accept it, that that's what it was going to be. Anyway, we sat down one day, and she says, "Is this really what you want?" I said, "Well, at this point, yes. You know, I love you, you know, and I hope that we can share our life in recovery, you know, because we were into recovery, going to meetings every day and doing all the things that we did, you know, all jazzed up, you know, we each had our own meeting and we were all wrapped up in our recovery." And then, you know, she hit me with this bolt of lightning. She says, "Well, you need to understand, you know, that my parents aren't used to me being with people like you." And I thought, well, yeah, I understand that. You know, it's just like, I'm trying to deal with that, you know, me not being with people like you either. You know? But, you know, I'm accepting that. I'm accepting that in my life, that it's possible, you know, that it is possible, that I can change, you know, that my views about other people don't have to be the way that they used to be. So, you know, I got to the point where I had to go meet her parents, you know, and it was tough. It was really tough. You know, like at times she would tell me, "Well, you know, my father said this and my father said that," and I said, Give it time, you know. I'd go over there, you know, my hair was down the middle of my back, my little Fu Manchu I had here, and he'd look at me, and after a while, you know, I guess he got used to me hanging around. And after a while, he started kidding with me, you know, like, you know, "Don't you think you should cut your hair?" "Yeah, well, you know, I don't know, you know." So that was about the extent of our conversation, you know. And then I cut my hair, you know, got to give a little, so I cut my hair. And he said, "Well, don't you think you should cut that little thing you got on your chin?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." Again, extent of our conversation, I cut it off. And he said, "Well, one of these days I'm going to get you to cut your mustache." And that never happened. I can't see myself running around without a mustache, you know. That's, I don't know what it is, but that's probably one thing I'll never cut off. I don't know, I might grow enough for it. Well, well, anyway, this relationship with my wife grew, and you know, that love that got strong, and then with this disease, you know, that we have, it just started, you know, getting to the point where you know, the self-centeredness started coming out, and the control started coming out, and you know, next thing I know, you know, we're you know, like, I'm trying to change her, you know. It's just like, you know, her dad talking to me, now I'm talking to her, you know. You know, you gotta, you know, you're putting on too much makeup, you better, you know, you gotta cut down on that makeup, you know, you gotta cut down on this, you gotta cut down on that. And you know, things started getting really, really squirrely, you know, around the house, you know. And not really understanding what was going on, you know. It's like, you know, I wanted to make her, you know, the perfect wife. You know, I want to be proud of her walking down the street, and everybody says, "Yeah, you got a beautiful wife," and blah, 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 you know. That was just the, you know, that sickness, you know, that committee working in my head, you know. And, you know, those times that, you know, she would walk out, you know, and I'd go chase her, you know, and asking her to forgive me, you know, over and over. And then, we started doing a lot of functions, you know, in our recovery, and like going to picnics and going to conventions and stuff like that, you know. And I got to the point where I became very possessive. Very possessive. And I didn't know this. I really didn't know it. You know, I was, I didn't want to talk to people. You know, we'd go out and, hey, you know, you came with me. You know, what are you doing going over here talking to so-and-so and so-and-so? And man, don't let her talk to another guy. You know, that's a no-no. Not when you're going out with me, you don't. And that's exactly the way I thought. I thought that she should not be talking to any other male. And I would tell her this, you know, that you can't be doing that. What's the matter with you? And especially going over and talking to the girls and telling her what's going on, you know, our business. You can't be putting that out on the street. What's the matter with you? No way, you know, you can't be telling them how I treat you. You know, between me and you. See, I forgot all about what was going on in these rooms, you know. One addict helping another, you know, she was trying to deal with her issues. And I was trying not to allow her, you know, and you know, I wouldn't share this with anybody. And I just got, you know, there was a point in there where, you know, where God allowed me to, you know, to find a person that I knew from out in the streets, you know. And, you know, I started talking to him, you know, and he was going through, you know, a shaky relationship. And he was sharing with me some of the things that he was going through. And then I started realizing that I was doing the same thing, you know. But his relationship was, you know, to its end. You know, they were getting divorced, and he was accepting that. So I tried working on it again, and so finally, at this point, you know, it got to the point where it was really working good again. You know, I was giving her the opportunity to do what she had to do, and we finally decided to get married. You know, wanted to start a family. And the funny thing about it, like Don was sharing today, you know, like God, you know, God did so many things for me that, you know, I look at it today and God, you know, I'm so grateful. You know, like they told her she was going to have a problem bearing kids, you know, that they'd have to run a lot of tests, you know, in order for her to, you know, to get pregnant, you know. And I'm thinking, man, you know, these doctors don't know what they're talking about, you know. And she came home crying, you know, and she told me, well, you know, the doctor wants to do this and the doctor wants to do that. And I told her, hon, you know, God wants us to have a child. You're going to have a child. You know, that's the bottom line. I really believe it. And I believed it then, you know. And the funny thing about it was at that point when the doctor was talking to her, he said, well, take your temperature and do this and do that and come back in 3 months and you know, we'll see what we can do for you. So she came back 3 months later and she was 3 months pregnant. So that goes to show you, you know. You know, I really can't tell you, you know, if the doctor didn't know what he was talking about. You know, but my mind tries to tell me they don't know who they were dealing with, you know, like I had everything to do with it. You know, but I didn't. I really didn't. You know, but there for a while I used to kid about that and ran with it, you know. But, you know, the thing is that God allowed us to have that beautiful child you just saw. You know, and things got again real good. We had that life, you know, that life that everybody dreams about, having that beautiful child in our home. You know, he brought a lot of love to our family, and our family became real close. You know, my in-laws loved me, they cherished me, you know, they said what a wonderful father I was, and, you know, they're real happy that I came into their daughter's life, came into their lives, that I was always welcomed at their home. You know, all these beautiful things that I always wanted, you know, a relationship finally, you know, that people accepted me in their life, not only in these rooms, you know, out of these rooms. And I loved it, you know, I really loved it. And, you know, here we were probably going on, you know, I think I was coming on 4 years and she was coming on 3 years or somewhere on there. And, you know, we wanted to be the perfect mother and the perfect father. And we forgot all about our program, you know, it's like it was secondary, you know, just put it on the back burner. We know it's there when we need it, okay? It'll be there. It'll always be there. The doors will always be open to us. And so we went on. We went on about our business, taking care of our little boy, you know, spending all the time with him, buying him all these toys, playing with him, and, you know, try to develop all these skills, you know, reading all these books, Dr. Spock and on, you know, really, you know, taking it to the wall, you know. And the next thing we know, you know, our lives are getting all screwed up again. Our priorities are all screwed up, you know, and our relationship is, you know, going out the window. We're not understanding why. You know, so, you know, we're going to marriage counseling, and, you know, all they're telling us is, hey, you know, we went to a priest, and, you know, every time we went to these people, they just told us, hey, you guys have a defeatist attitude, you know, you guys are destroying your lives, you guys are destroying your marriage. If you guys want it to work, then you guys better get busy and make it work, you know. So, he said, yeah, okay, so we went back, and, you know, we're running on our own will again. And at that point, and I guess I was coming on 6 years, on 7 years, she was coming on 6 years, and she found it necessary to go back out and use, you know. And for the next 4 years, it was all about, you know, me trying to fix her again, you know, like, wanting to know where she was going, who she was going with, when she was going to be back, why she wanted money for this, why she wanted money for that, and on, you know, it's that control again, you know. And it was a real bad period in our relationship. It wasn't that I was going to give up on her and say, hey, you know, you're using, and, you know, that's it, it's all over, you know. I still knew that there was hope for her. And I wanted to be there for her, just like you people were here for me. You know, when I was getting loaded and going to meetings, and you kept telling me, keep coming back no matter what, you know. And I knew that there was hope for her to clean up again, and, you know, hopefully, you know, she would make that decision. And, you know, I went through that period of going all over looking for her, dragging my little boy around, and, you know, and finding her and asking her and pleading her to come home, and, you know, all that, you know, all that good stuff, you know. And you know, it just so happened that, you know, I did develop some real good positive attitudes while I did what I was doing when I was involved in my recovery, you know. It was all about understanding what this disease is all about, you know, what it does to us, what we do as addicts. And I understood that's why she was doing what she was doing, because she was an addict and she was using. And it just so happened that it got to the point where I finally talked to some people, and, you know, and I told them, you know, this is, you know, I don't know what else to do. And that's when they told me, well, you know, you got to detach, you got to let her do what she has to do, and hopefully, you know, she'll come around, you know, she'll come around. And I was going to give it one last try, and I went looking for her, and I found her, you know. I found her in a motel, you know, doing what addicts do, and the only thing that I could do was go in there and explained to the guy that she was with that, you know, she had a family to come home to. She had a home to come home to when she was ready. And, you know, that I was willing to help him if it ever came to the time that, you know, that he wanted to do something with his life, that there was somewhere for him to go to. You know, it wasn't all about going in there and jacking them up because he was an old lady. You know, because I knew what this disease takes us to and what this disease makes us do. You know, and I was able to develop a relationship with a person that I didn't even know. You know, just go in there and shake his hand, introduce myself to him, and tell him that, you know, I don't know if he's got the same problem my wife does, but if he does, you know, there is somewhere for him to go. So, you know, I went on, you know, and started doing some of the things that trying to get back into my principles, you know. And I still, it was difficult because I had stayed away from meetings for you know, for a long time. So she came home, and things seemed to be getting all right, and then they weren't, you know. And it just got to the point where I would just, you know, blow up, you know, just blow up, because that's all I had. That's all I had to work with anymore. You know, it's just, you know, my fear and my anger. And it just got to the point where she finally wanted to, you know, to go on her way, you know. And then that's when she walked out. You know, so I followed her up, and you know, I told her she can't, you know, you can't leave me in the condition that you're in. You know, what's the matter with you? You know, don't you know you're in no condition to go out there, and you know, you're not going to make it out there in the streets. You know, so the only thing that I had to go for me was physically bring her back into the house. So I did. You know, and I brought her in the house. I laid her down, you know, and at that point is, you know, where God came into my life again. And just for one split second, I remembered how it felt to be in these rooms. And it felt good. It really felt good just to have that thought for that split second. So that's when I started coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I started listening to you people, and you know, you people gave me the strength that I needed to hang on. You know. And you know, to allow her to do the things that she had to do. You know, it just got to the point where I'd come home and I'd just check and see if she was breathing or not, you know. Because I knew that one day, if she didn't clean up, the only thing that I had to do was, you know, just call 911 and, you know, come pick her up. You know, because I really believed that that's what was going to happen if she didn't clean up. And it probably would have happened. But it didn't happen. It just got to the point again where I finally had to realize that, you know, she's an addict, and maybe it's going to take a little love and a little care, you know. So I asked her again, you know, will you go and get treatment, you know, and, you know, because if not, this is the end of the line, you know. I can't go on this way anymore. I have to go on with my life. You know, at this time, our little boy, our relationship was, you know, we could see the fear in his eyes, you know, it was affecting his schoolwork, and it was affecting, his attitudes. You know, our relationship was real shaky. He was getting to the point where he was afraid of me. I could see the fear in his eyes. I could see the fear in my wife's eyes. You know, like we were all walking on eggshells. So anyway, she went into treatment again. You know, and this is what I really want to share with you is how important it is, you know, if you live with an addict or if you're married with an addict, you know, and how important it is to, you know, to have that recovery in your relationship. You know, it's real importance. You know, and I realized that today that, you know, I cannot interfere with what she's doing in her recovery. I might not agree with it. She might not agree with what I'm doing in my recovery, but, you know, we just need to let go. We need to let go, you know, and let them do what they got to do, just like they got to let go of us and let us do what we have to do. So we've been dealing with that, you know. We they had a lot of different sessions that we had to go through, the treatment center that she went through, and we got in touch with a lot of feelings, you know. I was able to become open with her and tell her that I didn't even know how to have fun in recovery. You know, I played the part, you know. I'd go to all these functions, you know, and say, yeah, I'm having a good time and this and that. But really deep down inside, I didn't even know how to have fun, you know. So what I did was, you know, make our relationship miserable so we could share this misery, because I didn't know how to have fun with her. And I had to share this with her and apologize to her. You know, time after time after time, we would go to different things. It was all about getting an argument with her. And then we go, and then we had this bond. See, we had this bond everywhere that we went to, you know, like nobody could interfere with this bond. You know, that misery, you know, this chaos. I had to share this with her, you know, and just tell her, hey, babe, I didn't know how to have fun. in recovery. I did not have fun without using. You know, there's another thing too that we really don't talk a lot about. We make fun of it and joke about it, but Don really touched on it. It was very difficult. Our relationship. It's beautiful. It's only because we allowed each other, to grow in there, I mean, here we are, we have needs, She has her sexual needs, and so do I. But it wasn't to the point where we had to force it on each other. It was all about understanding, how in the heck can we be good lovers to one another? How can we not be demanding of one another? How can we enjoy, our sexual experience with one another? We had to learn that. It wasn't all about just hopping in the sack and, say thank you, It's all over. It wasn't all about that. And I had to learn how to do this. And I learned that in recovery. These last couple of years, it's all about, whenever we do it, we do it. If we don't, we don't. No big deal. It was a time that, like Don was saying, it's time. Let's go. And it's not that way anymore. It's really something special in our lives today. So we have to treat it that way. I cannot look at that part of our relationship, in a sick way that I used to. I can no longer do that. Because I know that it's going to affect our relationship. I know that in the long run, it's going to tear it apart. If I don't change the way, that I view that. Because once again, that bad information, that's why these women are here. Take care of those needs and forget about them, If they don't get pleasure out of it, so what? I did. But the way I look at it now, if that's all I'm looking for, I can go get me a magazine and take care of it too. If that's all I'm seeking, I'll just go get me one of those magazines that Don was talking about. I'll take care of it. But that's not what my relationship with her is. It's just not that anymore. It's all about loving her. I really feel the love. I feel the love today. But I can honestly tell you, and sometimes, I share it and sometimes I don't, It's probably, I don't know if it's the fear that I have that at times I want to share it and at times I don't. It's just I want to share with you that have the same problems that I have that there is hope, not only to quit using drugs. There is hope that you don't have to cheat on your old lady anymore. Because I have been faithful to my wife for the going on 13 years that we've been together. No matter what went on in our life, I didn't have to go seek another woman to fix me. I didn't have to. And I'm not going to say that those thoughts didn't go through my mind, because I tell you what, these women that are around today, and let me tell you, here I was, 13 years ago, like I said, it was just a handful of women, and now you go up in the dance floor right now. There's some beautiful women out there, some beautiful women right in here. But I can't look at them as sexual objects anymore. I can't have that relationship with you. Because if I do that, then I'm not doing it was asked of me by Narcotics Anonymous, to carry the message of the addict is for suffers. That's what I try to do with each and every person that I come in contact with. That's what I try to do, It isn't all about, who I can go to bed with and, it's just not that. Who I can get over. It's just not that anymore. I have met a lot of beautiful people, a lot of beautiful people in this room right now that I have come in contact with these last 4 years that I started coming back to meetings. I can honestly say that these people love me. They give me that feeling deep down inside, that gut level feeling that I had when I was sitting on my father's lap. I got that feeling inside from you people. That feeling that I always wanted, that somebody cared about me, truly cared about me, that truly loved me, that could really make me feel the way that I always wanted to feel, that I'm okay. As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not trying to put chaos into other people's lives, and I try not to do that today. You know, when I find that on my job, with a relationship with the people that I work with. You know, and I have my ups and downs in my job. You know, those of you that, you know, here's another thing. It's kind of difficult for, you know, sometimes I want to share and sometimes I don't. It's because I can honestly tell you that this month I have been on my job for 23 years. 23 years. I mean, what addict wants to stay in a job? I mean, it gets so tough that you get up in the morning and you don't want to go to work. You know, how many of us run away from jobs? Because we can't deal with that. You know, the pain is too great. You know, we don't want to change. We want to hang on to that false pride and that ego. You know, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, I had to develop a relationship with the people out there. You know, there's a lot of beautiful people that love me on my job too, just like you people love me. And they care about me and they call me at home. They call me. And that blows my mind. I'm thinking, wow, man, you know. And, you know, the type of work that, you know, that I do, I'm not supposed to come in contact with people. They're not supposed to be my friends. You know, I'm not supposed to take them out to lunch. You know, I'm not supposed to give them a ride home. You know, all this, you know, all the things that, you know, that I was told that I was not supposed to do when I was a kid. Here I am, 41 years old, and my boss is telling me, you're not supposed to do this with these people. You know, in the position that you're in, you know, you can't be with these people anymore. See, but this program has allowed me, God has allowed me, to develop a relationship with anybody that I come in contact with, and I have that right. I have that right. Because if I don't, then I don't have a relationship with God, I don't have a relationship with myself, and I can't live that way. I just cannot live that way. So anytime that I come in contact with somebody, hopefully, yeah, I can develop a bond with them, you know, that they understand, you know, that I'm really reaching out with love and not with anger and not with hate, not with judgment. You know, and I try not to, but I know that it's hard to understand, because I can remember the people that love me and used to tell me things that I didn't understand. And I used to say, wow, man, you know, why are these people, why are they treating me this way? You know, why are they down on me all the time? You know, it's just, I didn't understand. I didn't understand these people loved me. They wanted to develop a relationship with me, and I didn't allow them. Rather than to allow them, I go off in a corner and isolate. Say, they don't really love me. You know, they don't love me. But now I understand that today. And today, sometimes it's necessary for me to say things to people where they think that I'm down on them, but I'm not. It's just that if they stay around long enough, they're going to understand that they're going to be doing the same thing and they're going to have the same feelings. You know, and I've really learned from you people here, you know, from being in service. I mean, you really want to learn something about being humble and being grateful, get involved in service. You know, hopefully you don't let your ego and your pride get in the way. And you're going to learn a lot of things. You know, and this is beautiful right here. You know, to be a part of this, what's going on today, you know, I was able to share it yesterday. You know, this convention, Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it's, you know, it's just beautiful. You know, I really can't, you know, this is the thing that I ask for when I get on my knees and I ask God, what else can I do to show you how grateful I am? And that's all I'm asking for, is for a sign. A sign for him to tell me what I need to do more, you know, to show my gratitude. You know, and he allowed me to do what I'm doing right now. You know, and like I said earlier, you know, I'm not a marriage counselor, you know. I'm no expert on relationships. You know, all I can do is share my experience, my strength, and my hope, and my relationships, not only at home, on my job, in here with you people, with me. You know, I was sitting there earlier, you know, and I was trying to turn this committee out. You know, the committee wants to, you know, tell me that I'm going to come up here and talk all kinds of good stuff to you people, man. Maybe, you know, impress you, you know, but I don't want to impress you today. You know, I want you to know that I'm an addict and that I hurt a lot. I hurt a lot when I don't do the things that I'm supposed to be doing. You know, and I can honestly share with you that the only pain that I experience today, you know, is my resistance. My resistance to the principles of this program. That's when I start feeling pain. You know, and I don't want to feel that pain. You know, so when I start getting that gut feeling, man, you know, I know something's going on that I got to deal with. I got to get busy. And then I got to talk to you people, because you're the only people that I got that can help me. See, the bond and the relationship that I have with you people here is, you know, you can't buy it. You just can't buy it, you know. I can't go anywhere to get what I get in these rooms. You know, in order for me to have a relationship any other place, you know, it has to start here for me. And it's what I've been trying to do for the last 4 years that I've been coming back to meetings. You know, when I listen to these speakers and conventions that I go to, I listen to a lot of speakers. Because they start talking about deep down these feelings that are, I mean, they're right here gnawing away at us. But we want to stuff them. You know, we're good at that. We're good at stuffing. We want to keep them there and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, people don't want to hear that. You know, but the thing is, people do want to hear it. Because they want to know how to deal with it too. You know, with that pain that Bieber was talking about last night. You know, I was in a lot of pain, you know, anger. You know, being that child that I was. You know, all that bad information that I got. And coming in here, 27 years old, and not knowing how to have a relationship with another person. Not even understanding myself. You know, and wanting a chance. Wanting a chance to straighten my life out and doing the best that I could, just not to use, because that was about the hardest thing that I ever really had to do, was quit using. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. You know, for those of you that are in here struggling with that, man, you know, I really feel for you and I love you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, just like they used to tell me, no matter what, just keep coming back. Just keep coming back, no matter what, you know. Eventually, it's gonna take hold. And then, you know, then it was up to me to start forming some kind of bond with you people here. You know, that's all I want to do on a daily basis today, is to have that relationship with you. That when I walk in these rooms, I don't have to look the other way. I can look into your eyes. That's what I want to do. I don't want to come home and see fear in my son's eyes. I don't want to come home and see fear in my wife's eyes. You know, I don't want to go to work and have my subordinates walk away from me, turn their back on me. You know, I don't want that to happen, because it's not necessary today. It's just not necessary. You know, I know what it is today. You know, to enjoy life. And to enjoy life, and in order for me to enjoy life, I need to have people in my life. You know, because I isolated for so many years. You know, like I say, even as a child, I isolated. You know, just staying up in those trees for hours at a time. You know, I look back at that now, you know, it was like, you know, I don't want that feeling. I don't want to feel that way anymore. You know, I can remember how it was 4 years ago. This month is very special to me. 4 years ago, having that feeling of not having you people in my life, not having no contact whatsoever with you people, got on the phone trying to make contact with somebody that could help me, and I couldn't find anybody. You know, I just couldn't. I didn't no longer have any phone numbers. I didn't know who to contact. And that feeling is really, let me tell you, it's really scary. I don't ever want to have that feeling again. You know. And the only way that I can do that is by coming in here and developing a bond with you people. You know, knowing that these doors are always going to be open for me. You know, it's really, really something important in my life today. You know, that's why, you know, I really stress that if you want to find out what it's like, you know, to become grateful and become humble, get involved in service. and start realizing what it is to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. You know, instead of being out there self-centered and expecting somebody to fix you. So that's the way I was. I come in here, hey, you know, I got it coming to me. You know, I got it coming to me. Dude, I don't think that way anymore. You know, it's all about doing the best that I can. See, that's why I get down on my knees and I ask God to give me the power to carry His will and not mine. You know, I hear a lot about prayer. You know, prayer in a relationship. In the basic text, it tells me that I need to learn how to pray. See, because I used to pray for my wife. And I used to pray for a lot of people, you know. And I used to ask God to do my will and not His. You know. I learned how to pray, you know. You know. I learned to ask God, you know, just to give me the ability to accept what was going on in my life and to do what I had to do. To be there, you know, for my family. Because they're very important in my life today. For once in, you know, and I really can't tell you, you know, it's been a lot of years that I've always wanted the feeling that I have today, that I really have a relationship with my family. You know, I didn't share this with you about my father-in-law. Like, you know, I got to the point where I really loved that man. And the reason why I'm sharing is because he's no longer with us. You know, and I need to share it because, you know, it was a big part in our recovery today. You know, it's like, you know, 4 years ago, when I was telling you that my wife was going to leave me, you know, and I had to use force, physical force, to bring her back in the house. He called me at work, you know, and he told me, you know, this man that loved me, this man that really thanked me for, you know, for being a part of his life and his daughter's life, called me at work and said, I got a shotgun and I'm going to kill you. See? And this is what my relationship got with him. And then after coming back into these rooms again, the man was able to tell me once again, I love you, Manuel, and I know what you're going through. You know, if there's anything that I can do for you, just tell me and I'll do it. Because he finally got to understand that, you know, I needed new people in my life again. You know, it wasn't all about me trying to deal with it anywhere else. I had to deal with it in here. Anyway, you know, he died. And I still have a great relationship with my mother-in-law, my brother-in-laws. You know, they all love me. And it's a beautiful feeling, you know. You know, a lot of times I wish that I could say that I've been able to make that bond with my own family, you know, my blood family, but I can't, and I can accept that. You know, I love my mother dearly. You know, but my relationship with the people that gave me all that information, they're still hanging on to, you know, it just doesn't mix, you know. I just can't get it together. You know, I'm really grateful, you know, for the people that come in here and then get their families involved, you know, and share this miracle, you know, with their family, you know. And it really pleases me to see that. You know, I mean, there's times that, you know, that committee wants to start working and telling, you know, I want to be, you know, feel envious, you know, of you people that can do that, you know. But the thing is, you know, I have to understand, again, you know, I have to back off and understand, you know, where they're coming from. You know, there's a cycle they have not broken yet. And they're probably going to die not breaking it. See, God gave me the opportunity to break that cycle of that insanity, of living that way for the rest of my life. And then I look at my little boy. Hopefully he doesn't have to live that life. He doesn't have to go through all that. All the distractions. you know, all the emotions, all the feelings, you know, trying to figure out the confusion, you know, and sit down and talk to him, you know, and allow him to make decisions in his life. I mean, that's a big step, you know. You know, parenting is another difficult thing. You know, to become a parent, you know, being an addict and being a parent and allowing an 8-year-old, or at that time, and allowed him to make a lot of decisions in the last 2 years since things have been going better in our lives, you know. And he's 9 years old today, and I allowed him to make decisions. And the beautiful thing about it, you know, one of the gifts that that God allowed me to experience was Thursday. You know, we had made plans of coming up here, and Thursday we had his little friend with him. You know, he's known him since, you know, they grew up together. You know, and they've been taking swimming lessons together. And you know, we told him, you know, that Gabriel was not going to be able to be there for the last day because he was coming to the convention with me. You know, and his little friend says, you know, he says, I'm not going to be able to go with it because I have to go to my sister's graduation. He says, but I'm not going to go. And he says, do you really have to go to your daddy's? Do you really have to go to Fresno with your daddy? And, you know, without no hesitation or anything, my son says, I don't really miss the convention. I always go with my daddy. And, wow, you know, well, that's beautiful, you know. Like I said, I've been back in these rooms for 4 years. He's gone to 4 conventions, you know, at least 1 a year, you know, and he enjoys that, and he's out there having a blast. I mean, where else can you let your kids run around freely? Where else, you know? I mean, a lot of people can view and judge me and tell me that I'm an irresponsible father, which I have been told, because the relationship that I have with my son, that I allow him to run freely, to experience life the way he should, you know, to have that freedom that I never had. You know, he's out there having a fantastic time. You know, why shouldn't I allow him to? You know, why should I tie him down and tell him, hey, you stay sitting right here until this is all over with? You know, where else could I do this other than Narcotics Anonymous? I just couldn't do it. And that's why he likes to be here with you people. You know, and he's probably gone to more meetings than some of you people in here. He probably has. You know, but it's alright. All I know is the seed has been planted. And whenever he decides, well, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that he's an addict or he ever will become an addict. All I'm saying is that he got a taste of this life. And he ever comes to the point where he needs it, he don't know where to go. Just like my oldest son, he knows where to go now. It's just that he hasn't suffered enough. You know, he's already gone through a lot of the similarities that I went through when I was using. And, you know, all I can tell you is that my relationship with him is not the way that I want it to be. It just isn't. You know, he's got love for me and I got love for him, but we can't live together. You know, it's just not possible. We cannot live together. I will not tolerate. I will just not tolerate it. You know, I can't. You know, and I had explained this to him. You know, I can remember 2 years ago going to a convention and coming home, and I mean, the house just torn apart. You know, with 19-year-olds do. I mean, the house had just tore apart. You know, he had a party with his friends, and you know, and I came home, you know, and I was able to back off and just tell him, hey, man, you know, please, just stay away from me for a couple of days, and then we'll talk about it. Because right now, I cannot deal with this. You know, any other time, I would just react to him like, you know, my first thought was just to go over there and straighten him out, you know. But I know that I can't do that. So at least I have that kind of relationship with him where I can allow him, you know, to go through this pain. because he has been going through a lot of pain these last couple of years. A lot of the same pain that I went through at his age. You know, having those dreams that he called me on Father's Day and he told me, Daddy, you know what? You know, happy Father's Day, you know, and I love you. This is when, you know, I want to go into service, you know, I want to clear up my records. He's already got a record, you know. I want to clear up my record and I want to go into service and I want to go to school. I mean, those big dreams that I used to have, you know, going to school and being successful, you know. You know, but those dreams just couldn't become a reality until I quit using them. A lot of my dreams today have become a reality because I quit using, because I came in here, you know, and I developed a bond with you people, you know, a relationship to allow you in my life. You know, I just have nothing to hide today. You know, I have to be real careful. You have to become vulnerable for you to know about me. You know, because I know you're willing to help me. You know, and I want to thank all of you for, you know, for being here and listening to me. And, you know, I hope that you gained something from what I shared with you. You know, because relationships are tough. And all I can tell you is give yourself a break and give the person that you're with a break. You know, they're human just like you. They're fallible just like you. You know, and, you know, if they're an addict just like you, you got your hands full. You know, because you got your hands full of just trying to deal with yourself. You know, so just, you know, try to develop some kind of love for one another. And, you know, share that with one another. You know, at least try to do it, you know, on a daily basis, you know. Last night, you know, I called my wife, you know, and I couldn't get a hold of her. So I called her this morning and I told her, you know, this is probably the only chance I'm going to get to talk to you until I get home. So I just want to tell you that I love you and I miss you. And I wish that you were here with me. But I know that, you know, it's not necessary. And I just want to tell you that I love you and we're having, you know, I'll say hi to, you know, to the, you know, people that love you and the people that you love. And, you know, I went on, you know, and here I am right now. You know, loving every minute of it, you know. And I want to thank you people for allowing me to come up here and share. And with that, I'm just going to thank you.